about our dispatch centers. The Administrative Services Program area is responsible for oversight and administration of the agency. The functions performed within this program area are those that allow the agency administration to oversee operations on a day-to-day basis, maintain efficiency, and assure accountability of public funds. The Administrative Services Program area includes the Administrative Services Division, which is a division responsible for most agency business functions. These functions include personnel, payroll, purchasing, facilities, and safety. In addition to this division, the Administrative Services Program area includes the Superintendent's Office, Office of Professional Standards, Sworn Recruiting and Training, and the Office of Budget and Finance. Key budget drivers and workload trends include effective management oversight. First of all, for example, OSP currently has one authorized budget position. A survey of seven agencies showed staffing levels range from 3 to 12, with the most common being 4 to 5. OSP is a complex agency with multiple revenue streams, and we need the necessary staff to provide oversight and development of the budget. Secondly, the agency does not have an internal auditor position. We are unable to meet the auditing requirements set by the 2005 legislative session and do other critical auditing to improve our internal controls and improve business processes. OSP currently manages 73 facilities and 121 wireless communication facilities. This is done with one facilities position that was authorized by the 2005 legislature. Since hiring that position, we have completed inspections on approximately 30% of our facilities. I would refer you to Addendum B under the Administrative Services tab. There are 6 pages of photographs, and ask that you look at the last 2 pages of those photographs. They're representative of some of our facilities around the state. The general findings of these inspections are that our facilities are aging and are too small, inadequate evidence storage and security concerns, long-term lack of maintenance lead to things like leaks, worn-out buildings, carpet and paint, mold and air quality issues. The second budget driver and workload for this program area is recruitment and training. It's essential that an agency with the size and complexity of OSP to have a competent and properly staffed training section. In addition to basic policing, it is essential for law enforcement officers to have ongoing training related to the high-risk areas associated with law enforcement. This would include such things as firearms and defensive tactics training. This requires a cadre of employees trained to provide ongoing training in specialized disciplines. OSP also has the responsibility to attract, hire, and retain qualified police applicants. Attracting top-notch candidates into a law enforcement career is recognized as a problem nationwide. In order to accomplish this critical function, the agency must have adequate staff assigned to what is now a full-time function. In this program area, continuous improvements and efficiencies include a process where we are redesigning the agency disciplinary process. We're working with the OSPOA to simplify and streamline the process in order to reduce workload and expedite disciplinary issues. And we've also implemented a lateral transfer hire program in order to address the agency's need to attract and recruit qualified candidates. Policy packages under the Administrative Services Program include Package 101, Essential Infrastructure. This package establishes a budget director position and a fiscal analyst position to more effectively administer the budget. In addition, the package also includes a trades maintenance worker to assist with building patrol cars. Package 204, ON, establishes a fiscal analyst position to provide financial oversight of the ON project. Existing staff would not be able to adequately support this function. Package 207 is training and sworn applicant processing. This establishes one sergeant and one clerical position to directly oversee and support an aggressive timeline for testing and hiring as many as 200 sworn officers during the next biennium. This package also establishes one sergeant position and three regional training officers to oversee, coordinate, and provide necessary and required ongoing training. Package 208, Infrastructure and Field Support. This package establishes one internal auditor to address legislation passed by the 2005 legislative session. This package also requests the replacement of the Bend and McMinnville facilities due to right-sizing and structural issues. I would refer you to the third and fourth pages of the photographs to take a look at the McMinnville facility. This is an old, deteriorating facility owned by ODOT. Staff from multiple divisions, including patrol, fish and wildlife, criminal, and state fire marshal, work in this facility. It's significantly undersized and does not meet the operational needs of the staff. Over the past 10 years, we've had chronic air quality problems caused by mold. While ODOT has worked on this problem, it continues to be a health concern for employees during the rainy season and has resulted in workers' comp claims. The lobby of the office is not adequately secured.
Yes, Representative Nicholson, thanks.
I just wanted to inject a lighthearted comment. I was looking at a couple of these pictures, and at first I thought it was pictures of our legislative offices on floors 2, 3, and 4, but then I realized it wasn't.
We do have some orange chair on. Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Cameron.
When I toured the crime lab, I think you have some solutions to the leaky roofs that you could implement there, too.
I mean, taking the Lincoln Hall of PSU, perhaps.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Please continue.
The lobby of the McMinnville office is not adequately secured. The evidence storage consists of a 4-foot by 6-foot closet. Evidence overflow is placed in an outside garage. There's one small room that is inadequate for group meetings and serves as a lunchroom, report writing area, and evidence processing area. Employees eat on the same table as they process evidence. The men's bathroom is so small that the door cannot be fully opened due to the wall lockers being in the way. The Bend facility has many of the same issues, and I would refer you to the first two pages of photographs to get some examples of the Bend Patrol Office. Again, staff from multiple divisions, including the crime laboratory, work at this site. This is a lease facility, and we understand that the landlord is interested in selling it. Over time, the building configuration has become increasingly inadequate. For example, when the Eastern Regional Dispatch Center was eliminated and consolidated into our remaining system or remaining centers, a large open room was left vacant. This space can't be used for office space and is occasionally used for defensive tactics training. The office ventilation system does not work adequately. The evidence locker is undersized and leaks. The Bend Crime Lab does not have adequate safety ventilation, and the electrical system for technical equipment is inadequate. OSP is currently operating with a 1-year lease extension. If we were to stay in this facility, a complete remodel, and some have said complete rebuild, would be necessary. This request also relates to a package that would regionalize the state medical examiner's office. OSP believes the regionalization of the ME's office is an important concept. The current Bend facility cannot accommodate the addition of an ME office. Package 319 is a CFAA fund shift. This package shifts one sergeant position in training from general fund to CFAA, consistent with House Bill 3497. Package 502, Criminal Justice Grants Administration. This package is one of three packages necessary under the governor's budget to move OEM to the military department. This package transfers 5 grant positions from Criminal Justice Services Division to the Office of Budget and Finance. Employees would administer grants outside the Homeland Security area once moved. I would now like to move from the overall administrative services program to our command centers or dispatch centers. I would ask you to turn to page 23 under the patrol tab. The agency has two police dispatch centers called command centers. The Southern Command Center, located in Central Point, and the northern center is located here in Salem. The centers provide dispatch services for all state police operations. These dispatch centers are funded through the Administrative Services Program and supervised through the Patrol Division. The Northern Command Center has 30 dispatchers and 4 call takers who cover 21 counties in western and central Oregon. The Southern Command Center has 20 dispatchers and 4 call takers and covers 15 counties in southern and eastern Oregon. Key budget drivers and trends for our command centers are related to workload. Workload relates directly to field force staffing and calls for service. Specifically, call takers receive calls primarily by telephone and must process the calls in a timely and accurate fashion. Dispatcher workload is directly tied to supporting officers in the field. Command center supervisors are the conduit between center operations and the field operations. Their workload is related to supervision, recruiting, hiring, training, staff, and administrative duties needed to run the center. Continuous improvements in this area involve an integration project. We've begun the process of implementing a project to integrate our computer-aided dispatch system with our police records system. This will allow for greatly improved information flow within our department and also will contain an interface to allow our criminal justice partners to access our internal criminal justice information. Performance and outcome measures for this program. The command centers have no formally adopted performance measures. However, the performance of the command centers is measured and evaluated by internal measures consistent with industry standards. Similar to programs in place in Washington, Idaho, and local government dispatch centers in Oregon, the command center supervisor evaluates the work of call takers and dispatchers against these published standards. There are 38 potential points of compliance. Policy option packages under this program include Package 101. This package includes personnel for the operation of the command center at the existing trooper level. This package would restore 4 TC2 dispatcher positions and 3 supervisor positions. This will bring staffing levels up to the recommended levels and assist with workload distribution. Package 208, this package includes personnel for the operation of the command centers and the command center support unit. It is tied to Package 200, which is the additional troopers. It adds 2 TC2 dispatcher positions and 1 TC1 call taker position to support new troopers. This concludes my testimony. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
I think one of the things that we're going to be debating as we go closer to work session is how much of the infrastructure needs do we have to have in order to bring on the additional troopers. You've talked about a couple of different policy packages, and as we go through these in more detail, you'll see Package 101 in several different places. And could either of you comment on that?
Mr. Chair, part of that's going to be my remarks here. I can maybe address that. You want to try then, and we can have follow-up questions, Drew?
Yeah, that would be
okay.
Fine. Questions now? Well, Representative Nathanson and then Hannah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When we were looking at the pictures, and I'm sorry, I made a little joke of it, because it really is no joke when people are working in hazardous or inappropriate kinds of working conditions. That applies to everybody, I understand. But still, when I was thinking about the need to upgrade facilities where there's no place to store evidence in a secure or safe way, when there's no place to eat lunch that's hygienically appropriate because you're processing evidence out at the same table, for example, when I think about the need to move to a different leased or a different owned facility, for me it begs the question of how much or to what extent does the state police organization try to look for places where local jurisdictions may be having initiatives on their own to expand or improve space so that you would have joint agreements to co-locate, for example, to maximize the value, perhaps improve public service, find efficiencies, do more with the amount of money available. For example, if one jurisdiction can't quite do what they need to do and the other one doesn't have quite enough money, but you put it all together, sometimes jointly you can do a really good facility. To what extent do you look for those opportunities?
Chair Shields, Representative Nathanson, I would say that we do have a past history and a practice of doing that. I couldn't quantify exactly today how many of those facilities exist, but there are facilities where we do share with our partners, work in a sheriff's office or work in a city police department. City of Tualatin is an example of that, where our Tualatin workstation is located there. We've also done things like combining the medical examiner's office and the forensics laboratory in Portland, which significantly upgraded the facility in Portland and made it kind of possible for the first time for them to have an adequate facility. So we do partner around the state. Many of our buildings are owned by ODOT. That's a long-term partnership. Some of those buildings are older now and becoming, they're not the best, but it's an example of very low cost for us at this point if it weren't for the fact that we have some unanticipated or unexpected repairs related to those buildings. We could get you more full information on that if you would like, just to give you an idea, more than what I've been able to answer today, if that's necessary.
A short follow-up?
Sure.
Yes, I would like to see something, and also hope that it means that you are actively looking for those other kinds of opportunities, because we hear from counties and local jurisdictions that aren't able to do what they need to do. And when I see the facilities that the state needs upgrading, it seems to me there might be something to this, and I hope that there is a willingness on the part of the state to be proactive in initiating those kinds of possibilities.
Chair Shields, Representative Nathanson, I'd also point out that we do work with DAS closely on obtaining new facilities. One of the options in Bend that would be considered is a partnership with the county. They approached us, for example. So those things do happen. I know DAS and the agency we're open to that process, and we'll get you that information.
Thank you very much.
Representative Hanna, do you have a question?
Yeah. Thank you, Chair Shields. And this might be addressed by the superintendent in his closing remarks. It could be for professional staff or Doug to answer. But I want to try to reconcile, and I appreciate the answers to the questions about vehicles and the number of vehicles per maintenance person and that kind of thing, but sort of brought up another point, and I'd like to reconcile the issue. Within the question and answer response, there's like 846 vehicles. If you total that page up, under the administrative services tab on page 119, there's 935 vehicles. So I'd like to reconcile how many vehicles there are, kind of get that number dialed in so we know. And then finally, I'd like to understand on the vehicle issue as it applies to the new troopers, the proposed 139, not the 100 in the co-chair's budget, but the 139. If those folks come on board, I don't think we've seen a policy option package that addresses vehicles specific to that. And I want to understand, first, how many vehicles there are, and two, with that addition, where those vehicles come from or how you handle that issue.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Timothy McLean, Superintendent of State Police. Representative Hanna, as far as the number difference there, I'm going to have to probably go to Fleet, the patrol services, to determine what the difference might be there. At times, when I ask for the same numbers and I get two different answers, sometimes we don't count our special use vehicles, which would be our SWAT boats. And so on one count over here, you'd get patrol vehicles or vehicles that are driven with a motor. On the other one, then somebody adds in account for boats, ATVs, all that other equipment. That might be the answer, but I'll narrow that down. On your second question, as far as the new 139 troopers and the governor's recommended budget, that included a vehicle package.
Okay, can I follow up to that, please, Chair Shields? And in addition, and to Representative Nathanson's point here, the personal equipment, radios, vests, did that package also include that type of equipment to ramp up to that level within your agency for radios? I know there's a policy option package on the digital video equipment for the car, patrol cars, and some of that. Does the package ramp up enough for your operation with the new level of troopers?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanna, yes. As far as radio, vest, that type of equipment should be included in that package.
Thank you.
All right.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Wesley.
Let me ask the question a different way. Same question. How much does it cost to put one trooper on the road? Training, vest, car, weapons, radio, citation book, all the things that go into that. How much does it cost to put one trooper on the road?
Let me substitute you for Monica. Get my numbers person up here.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Monica Brown, Budget Director for OSP. To Senator Westland's question, we have estimated that a new trooper for a full biennium of the car, uniform, gun, all of that we can count and discreetly track, $230,000 for a biennium. Once they're operational, we've made the initial capital outlay, kind of the ongoing, roughly $195,000. And that includes, to the best of our ability, to estimate where fuel is going to be and the average burn rate on fuel as well. So the package before you that's in the governor's budget for the $139,000, as well as the other staff and criminal, again, to the best of our ability, we've attempted to estimate our costs at a point in time, and those are fully loaded for their direct costs.
And follow up, you anticipated my second question. So that's about, you know, the startup on that, if you will, round numbers, about $45,000.
Senator Weston, about $35,000. 230 to 195.
Well, I can't do math, so. That's why they put me on the Ways and Means Committee. Okay. That does answer my question. Thank you.
Anything else? Great. Thank you.
Won't go anywhere.
Want to stick around for the next session?
You know, comment, Mr. Chair? I remember in the 99 session when we actually did put 200 additional troopers on the road that was subsequently not implemented by the executive branch, shall I say. The cost was, you know, considerably, although not understandably, less. And I say that and I ask these questions from the standpoint of, you know, we know that this needs to happen, and we know that it is going to happen. It's a question of when. And there is no, you know, less expensive time, as large as these numbers seem, than now. That leaves out of the equation additional public safety, you know, the additional security, the additional peace of mind, additional drug busts, all that stuff. Leaves that out of the equation. Just from a simple cost standpoint, this is the cheapest we're ever going to be able to do this, is now. Anyway, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, before you, you have the answers to your questions over the past 7 days of testimony. As Representative Hanna already pointed out, if we need additional detail, we can get that to the members of the committee. One phone call away.
Yeah, we appreciate the thorough nature of the responses.
As Mr. Wilson pointed out, if I could refer the committee back to document under Appendix A, that's the department-wide priorities. I'm just going to speak briefly about the priorities and again, how we came to the list of priorities. For me, having been here since 2001, and the first session really involved was this past session, 05 and 07, part of this was developed through the work of staff and the Public Safety Subcommittee from the past session. On top of that, as we spoke of earlier in testimony, We also had the work of the 2006 meetings with our stakeholders and public safety partners. And then on top of that, we did the survey just to kind of reinforce that, even though this had already been kind of developed before that. We did the survey in the fall of 06, as we mentioned before, again with our public safety partners, legislators, and citizens of Oregon. From the list of priorities, the budget was developed. The governor's recommended budget addresses the department's priorities and provides three steps, and what I say is a continued investment of state police services. The first step is to stabilize the department. The second step is to continue rebuilding or reinvesting in our core mission. And the final step is further investment in the department's infrastructure and field support. Turn the committee back to, again, the policy package under the budget overview, which is page 7. Package 101 is the first step in stabilizing the department and is part of my number one priority, which is to be accountable to policymakers, our criminal justice partners, and to provide support to the men and women currently serving the citizens of Oregon. This package provides the needed positions to manage our budget, information management system, properly staff our command centers, and put sergeants back in the field with further investments in the evidence tech program. Mr. Chair, Senator Winters, you had a question during the information management presentation. I believe you'd counted up 16 positions presented in two different packages. My answer is there's four critical positions that need to be filled, and those are in Policy Option Package 101. And actually, they're probably two and three on my priority, right behind rebuilding our budget office. As you know, Senator, the State Police through LEDS is the sole provider of critical information used by law enforcement and our partners out of state. The information is critical for officer safety and a crucial tool during police investigations. The four positions are needed to maintain our 24/7 coverage of the message switch system, and to stay within compliance as a state keeper of the national crime information. The second step to continue the work from the past legislative session is rebuilding the department through Policy Package 201, which is the 24/7 patrol coverage, 207 of forensics, and packages 205 and 206, which further expands our statewide criminal investigations. These are all important for the safety of our troopers and providing service to our partners and the public we serve. The third step is adding the necessary resources to take that service level or service delivery to the next level. Policy packages 207, 208, and 209 will allow the department to deliver quality service to our employees, public safety partners, and citizen organs. I think, Mr. Chair, that's where we, at that time, we need to ratchet down into more detail the committee members, which I'd be happy to answer questions on. And that would be Policy Package 208.
So you're looking for a little direction right now? So
which ones to? Yes, I mean, we have, and I don't have it before me, and maybe Monica might have it, but to go back to your question, I mean, I think we have the answer as we add additional troopers, how many more call takers we might need, how many more support staff in the field offices, what additional evidence techs we'd be looking at, and most of that is listed in Policy Package 208. We have that listed on priority within my office of where we could step down through those.
Okay. So what I hear you saying is that 101 and 208 are the key ones for making 201 possible. Is that correct?
101 is key even before adding 201 for me. I need 101 just to stabilize the department and make sure that we maintain the service we're at right now. And to fill those positions, as I mentioned, out in the LEDS and other places. Then 201, we'd start the rebuild of troopers. And as we move through that, then 208 would assist us as we get as we take certain steps in bringing back troopers on board
to sustain that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, in the governor's or in the co-chair's budget, package 101, almost all of it is funded, and parts of 208, but not a great deal of 208, is funded. For example, the Bend and McMinnville facilities mentioned by the previous speaker is funded in 208, but some of the additional staff is not funded. And during work session, we can go through that in a little bit more detail.
Representative Nicholson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So one of the questions Mr. Wilson and I all want to understand is, for example, when in 208 it mentions trades maintenance, is this the way we make sure that troopers can be on the road doing what they need to do instead of worrying about oil changes and buying new tires and things like that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Davidson, actually I think there's trades maintenance supervisors in both 101 and 208, and the ones in 101 I believe are funded except maybe for one, and actually it's outlined in what I handed out last week, and I don't think any are funded in 208 because we just had some, the co-chairs had some constraints, but made sure that what the superintendent said around I need these before I move to new troopers, those were basically funded in the co-chair's budget. But you're right about the role of those as well as evidence techs. When you fund those, you start bringing, leave troopers can then get out on the road instead of doing those functions.
And then when you mentioned the $230,000, that does not include any of those kinds of support positions, I presume.
Mr. Chair, no, the number formally mentioned for the troopers was just for the trooper position itself.
Any other questions? Do you want to then move into more detail, or would you like to go into conclusions?
We can.
Actually, Representative Penn has a question.
Thank you. Excuse me, Superintendent. Doug, so if I understand this, on 101, on top 101, the six trades folks are included in the co-chair's budget. However, in 208, the four are not. Is that correct? And you know, you said we could go through this closer in the work session, but will we go through this item by item in the work session?
Package by package, Mr. Chair, for sure, and I can outline what it is, but I think you're basically right in what you just said, and I would refer you to the the paper that I handed
right.
out last week.
We'll
show you what's in and what's out. I tried to be detailed
Got
enough
it.
To without putting too much minutia in there.
Was that responsive?
That is, thank you. I do want to say, Mr. Chair, as we get to work session, because this came out a week ago, and now we're having a conversation around the policy option packages, that when we get to work session, I think it will be valuable to sort of link those back together. Because, you know, a week ago I have notes and highlighted those items, and you kind of bring back from memory how they fit in the packages. But I would hope in work session we'll link that back together, because this is a very valuable page, but you have to put it together with all the packages to get the benefit.
Right, fair enough. And it is a pretty complex budget, the, you know, how the 101 is applied in just about every division.
Mr. Chair, we could provide the committee more written detail on our priorities and break down on that.
We're always interested in finding out what's the most critical pieces for you if you think you can provide more of that detail.
Okay.
Can I ask another question to the superintendent?
Sure.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Superintendent, we flipped from the priority page, which I've now lost my finger hold in, so I'm not going to go back to reference it. From the priority page to the summary of the policy option packages. And so as you were discussing 101, 201, and 208, if we went back to the priority page, are those all priority one? And could we reference those from the priority page to these policy option packages? are the policy option packages prioritized?
No, not as you have them in front of you today. And no on Representative Hand on your question as far as does a number one priority on this priority list link up from what I said, package 101? No, because primary enforcement and special operations, that would be more of the patrol work, and special operations would be SWAT mobile response team. But
follow up.
The 101 is in five different places. Is that mm-hmm. what you're saying? What represent that?
Yeah. Okay. Thank okay. You. I think I understand that. I think that becomes difficult to get your hands around a little bit, and I don't know if you could prioritize the policy option packages, even though they land in different places, but I mean, we're going to get to the nitty-gritty pretty quick, and having the benefit of that, I believe, would be valuable to understand.
Mr. Chair, just in terms of working with the co-chairs, I did ask the department to prioritize 101 and 208, that both infrastructure, and the co-chair's budget follows that relatively closely in terms of what I brought back as proposals to the co-chairs for them to fund.
Okay.
And it was based primarily on what the agency brought forward as their priorities for just those two packages, for the two infrastructure sets of packages.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanna, I think that was probably confusing, and as I reflect now on the way we did our presentation, our testimony, we had these policy option packages that kind of blend through all the divisions in some way, and I know that it became confusing, and should have probably done something different there.
Well, I think, you know, once we get a sense, an understanding that, you know, Doug and I were just talking today, and I said, gosh, they got dozens of policy option packages, and then I had to go back and say, well, wait a second. Two of those are just in five or six different divisions. So it's just a critical piece for us to understand. But what I hear you saying, again, is that 101 and 208 are key to making 201 possible, the trooper increase.
101 is key to me, as I said, having accountability to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then 208 was, as we build the 201 package, we're going to need that to support the agency.
Anything else? Do you want to wrap up?
I'm just about there, unless we have more general questions.
I've got one.
Not a question, a comment. Is a comment in order?
Sure.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I wanted to mention that I have very much appreciated the information that's in our binder, especially the detail and examples we're getting under continuous improvements and efficiencies. Yesterday afternoon, I mentioned something in relation to that one particular area that we were hearing about yesterday, but I wanted to let you know that generally through all these different divisions or program areas, that I have found improvements and efficiencies that make me really pleased to be able to read. I have found examples where you've improved service, improved outcomes, improved safety, and sometimes and also simultaneously reduced costs. This is really good news. So for all the people that are scurrying around doing all that work, preparing all the detail, I hope you'll mention that information is noticed and it's used. And in fact, I even used some of it. I used examples from patrol, forensics, medical examiner, and criminal investigations in a public meeting last weekend, presenting information to about 50 citizens. And I was real proud to be able to have some good news to tell them in the middle of some other bad news I had for them.
Mr. Chair, Representative Nathan, thank you. And to those members of the department that I'm sure are listening in right now, I say thank you to them because it's their dedicated work that pretty much inspires me to put this uniform on every day and come back to work every day. So thank you. And before I leave you today, thank you, members of the committee, for your courtesy and the support you've provided to my staff and I. And as a citizen of the state, I appreciate the public service you provide to the citizens of Oregon. So thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Winters.
I want to thank you for responding to our questions in writing, and not only in writing, but in detail, and also and identifying the representative senator who posed the question. And we don't often get that back in this forum, and it's very appreciative. And as you and I have talked before in the past, we could almost be relatives if you would put a C in front of the L in your name. My name was McLean.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, Senator Winters, if it helped things today, I'll be more than happy to do that tomorrow.
I think that's a key part of policy option package number 208.
And thanks go to Monica Brown, who attention to detail.
And, in my day job, I used to help a lot of recovering addicts, and came across a fair number of people who weren't quite recovering to the degree that they should have been, and a lot of sociopaths and occasionally a psychopath, and I realized what havoc they can wreak, and I just wanted you to know that all the committee appreciates the danger that your staff put themselves into every day to help protect public safety.
Thank you.
I'm just saying we might give them that, we have to say put scrap tiling square foot, and then the office.
Great. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate it. And this meeting is adjourned.